Hi, I'm John, and I'm a real alcoholic.
Hello,
John. So, hello to my Southern Cal family. Yeah. I have a long history with the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I have a long history with alcohol. So I'm going to give you the very brief version. I first drank when I was 19 and a half. I went into the military. And between the induction center in Boston and Great Lakes Naval Center, I managed to consume a lot of scotch. I had never had alcohol prior to that. That started my trend, and I constantly, through my whole career in the military, equated military service with drinking. I did not stop drinking at any time for any reason except to meet the immediate obligations that I was faced with on a daily basis. Otherwise, if I was not on duty, I was drinking. At that time, I was 19 and a half. That was in 1961. By June of 1962, I was diagnosed a chronic alcoholic, and I was referred into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. My first meeting, I went dutifully, and I had walked into, it was a candlelight meeting, and I saw an open chair at the table with a book there. I sat in the chair, and I was properly chastised. That was Bill W.'s chair. Well, you just don't do that. But what did I know? I learned a great deal from that day to today. And during this time, I have accumulated good sobriety, bad sobriety, and the in-between. I've gone through every phase of the alcoholic syndrome. I've been hospitalized. I've been institutionalized. I've been detoxed. I can't tell you how many times. I was homeless one time because for 3 months I was so drunk I didn't know where I lived. And it sounds terrible, right? But it's true. And I was found in the detox center on Island Avenue by a legislative committee down there doing an inspection of the facility. And they took me back to my house. The people knew me. They took me back to my house in North County. And when I got there, my partner put me back in the car and took me back. So, go figure. I've been in many recovery homes, recovery programs. I've been under mental health treatment for over 30 years. And through it all, I've been a survivor of suicide on two occasions, once intentionally at my intention and once because the EMTs made an error. They didn't read the paperwork. But nevertheless, I'm here today. And in the year 2008, in April, I was at a point of making a decision. And I had no demands on my person in any way, sense, or form. I had no obligation to any person. My income was stable. My livelihood and my living conditions were all stable. I had people to take care of me. I didn't have to leave my house ever. I didn't go to the store to buy liquor. I just picked up the phone and it got delivered. And that probably is because I owned bars at one time. But anyway, the point is, I had no boundaries. I could do anything I wanted as long as I could do it and I could afford to maintain the personnel and the staff to protect me and take care of me. And I could do that even today. But in April of 2008, I was in the hospital again, in the emergency room. And once more, I was at a point of do or die. And my psychiatrists and my doctors and the few people that were there said to me, you know, your life has been a total failure. You've tried so many times to kill yourself. And, you know, there are people that say they try to kill themselves. and maybe they take a few aspirin. I'm not one of those people. I make serious efforts, and I have succeeded twice, and I've been brought back. But the point is, I had to make a decision, and somehow I had a glimmer of common sense. What else can you call it? I decided I wanted to live. And then my mind moves. It doesn't drag. And so immediately I go into the next step of how do I want to live? What type of life do I want to live? Do I want to live the continue the way I am and reduce the alcohol consumption or, you know, blah, blah, blah. The end result was I decided to try to rebuild what I was in the past and bring it forward 48 years. Now that's a big challenge. And since April of 2008, I have two years and 2 months of quality sobriety. And I have it in a great sense of peace and serenity. I'm at peace with God, myself, and my fellow man. And I am again a person of note, as they say. But one of the ways that this happened for me is that I take direction for a change, and somebody told me, a physician said to me, you know, you ought to go to La Mesa and go to some men's meetings because you really get your eyes open. You'll see what's going on in this program. So, you know, I'm used to the backdoor meetings in Rancho or Del Mar or those kind of places. I'm not used to parading into these meetings with a bunch of men. But anyway, off I go. So I take direction. And I moved out of my condo. I went to La Mesa. I rented a house for a year. And I went to meetings every Wednesday and every Friday. And I went faithfully and religiously. And I learned about grown men being able to cry with dignity, being able to express themselves and interchange conversations, ideas, and bring out issues within each other that were noteworthy and of value to individuals in their search for a quality life. And that was a real eye-opener for me. I also got a sponsor. And my sponsor, guess what? Was smart. And he knew his stuff. And he had about 28 years of sobriety. And oddly enough, he also knew many people that I knew socially and business-wise from my past. So we had a lot in common to chit-chat about, but he didn't let me slack. He brought me back to ground every time, saying, you must reach inside yourself and raise the bar, and you must bring yourself to the level of understanding your contribution to this situation. Because frankly, I didn't accept any responsibility for many things. I mean, I just felt I was entitled to everything. And I basically lived my life that way. So after being morally and spiritually bankrupt, I was tossed into this regime, and I'm beginning to pay a lot of attention. And lo and behold, it stuck. I mean, it actually stuck. I learned what it is to be a responsible person. And that was a real switch for me. So today, I'm in a position in my life where I am helping others. I am doing service work. I am particularly identified with people that return to the program. I don't thrive on the term relapse and retread and that sort of thing. I figure people that return to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous with an honest desire to stop drinking are people that have made a conscious decision to apply themselves and bring their life back in order. And that's what I feel this program has done for me. So I'm particularly happy to be here tonight. And I have friends here that I've known over 40 years, some new. And sadly, one that is not here, my dear friend Renee, and she will be missed. But I don't think that I can ask for anything more out of this program than to be more understanding, perhaps, or less in conflict. I'm always questioning. If I see something written, and I know it was written in 1939, I want to translate it to 2010. And then I do that, and then I compare it, you know, and I say to myself, well, gee whiz, even the Webster's Dictionary and the Oxford Dictionary adds new words and develops more meaning to the existing vocabulary in the dictionary. So I've learned how to do that, and it's helped me a great deal. And I think it really makes things click for me. It may not for some people, I don't know. But for me, it makes it click, and it makes it fit into my mindset, and my language, and my element of understanding. And that's what it has to be for me. I have to understand. And that's what I try to do. So I really don't have a whole lot more to share with you. Because if you want to hear the long version, it takes a while. But I don't feel that I have to wallow in self-pity. I don't feel I have to be unhappy to be a good alcoholic. Yeah, do I have to get up in the morning and face drama and trauma and, you know, on and on and on? No. I get up in the morning and I brush my teeth and shine my jewelry and take a shower. And I do a little meditating in the process. And I have a good connection with a higher power. And that's the end of that. I'm glad I was here. Thank you, John, for inviting me.